And welcome to Open Up and Bleed. This is Eugene, and I thank you for tuning in to another special episode here on K-Chung Radio. And I have a very, very, very special guest with us tonight. Barf Queen. Can I say your Christian name?
Yes.
Joan Lee, right?
Yes.
And okay, what do you want to tell us about yourself before I start grilling you?
I am a person.
You're a person. You're a human being?
I'm a human being.
How old?
I am 25.
Oh my God.
But one day I will have the face of a dog.
How old do you think you'll be when you have the face of a dog?
I mean, it depends on how quickly plastic surgery catches up with my canine desires.
Okay. Why do you think you want the face of a dog?
Because I just think that would be cool. Like, it would be like walking around with one of those giant mascot heads on.
Mascot heads, uh-uh.
But without the sweat factor of a mascot head.
Have you ever walked around with a mascot head on your head? On your head?
I did. It was like this big turtle head in the middle of summer in Michigan.
And you like that?
It was fun, yeah.
What was good about it? Basically, are you doing it for the reaction? You know, because look, here's the thing. Joan, aka Barf Queen. Well, let's be right out in the open right away. We are very close.
Yes.
Like me, Eugene, and Joan, the host and the guest are very close. We spend almost all of our time together. We are a couple.
Yes.
Of perverts.
Yes.
And also in a relationship. And we have been for a long time.
Yes.
How long?
1.5 years.
More.
1 year.
Give us months.
8 months?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe 9 now. Anyway.
Well, no, because it was like we're not far enough into the month of September for it to technically be 9 months.
Okay, fine.
Like, if we're getting real mathematical.
Right, it needs to be on September 7th, it'll be 9 months.
Well, yeah, okay. Something
so
like
that.
So
that would be 21 months. Wow, holy moly. Anyway, so let me ask you, when people like us who dress in a certain type of unconventional way and, you know,
I don't know. Aren't you wearing something quite conventional? You're wearing a mechanic's jumpsuit.
Yeah, but look, I'm not a mechanic. I was in an art gallery all day, and I'm not wearing any underwear. And you know, it's a jumpsuit, and I'm not a mechanic, so it's not really in the context of people seeing me. They know who I am more or less if they're seeing me, and they're like, "This motherfucker's not a mechanic." So I like this because I think it's utilitarian. Because I don't have any underwear, and it's like one of the better things to wear when I don't have underwear. Because it's short sleeved and
it's very. Why aren't you wearing underwear right now?
I don't have any underwear because we haven't done laundry in a long time.
Oh, okay.
So I'm wearing it right for a bunch of utilitarian reasons. At the same time, I know that it's a little bit funky, a little bit kooky, you know, and I get off on. It's not even. I don't even care if anybody compliments me. I just like knowing that I'm wearing something that feels like. Weird to me. All right, so did you enjoy the aspect of wearing the turtle head, which is also something that people refer to as a poop that's sticking a little bit out of their butt, a turtle head, because of the reaction garnered from people?
I mean, yes and no, because at the time I was in a parade, which is why I was wearing the turtle head.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, right.
So obviously when you're in a parade, you're like,
that's
performing
all about that.
For
oh,
an
so you
audience.
Weren't wearing it just like into Kmart and you went to Chick-fil-A. It wasn't like that.
No.
You
it
weren't
was
like
it was a parade.
Waiting for the bus.
It
okay.
was a parade.
Why were you in a parade?
Because
in what
it's
town?
Like in Oxbow, Michigan.
Okay.
Because I was at this like artist camp thing.
How old are you?
How old was I? Like 21.
Oh, so you were already in college.
Well, this was in college. Like, it was a requirement to graduate.
It a residency?
No, it was like off campus credit, and so I went
to this
camp.
Like, you didn't have to be talented to get in.
I mean, no.
Okay.
Basically, like, anyone that went to my school
had to do this or something like it?
No, they had to either do this or some other sort of off-campus thing.
What did normal people do?
I mean, a lot of people, you know, studied abroad or, like, had a internship.
Why didn't you study abroad?
Because it costs a lot of money.
Right. And how much was going to Oxford, Michigan? That's something like
$300. I mean, I got financial aid, so it was basically like, yeah, it was like something like $300 or something.
And so you, as part of your art learning practice, you said, I'm going to go and be in a parade?
That was part of it. Like every summer, the people in the camp like put on a parade for the citizens of the town.
And did you make your own turtle head?
Yeah. I mean, because I was in a costume class.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, and that kind of relates to what's going on. So one of the reasons why I asked you on the show, besides the fact that I love you, is on Thursday, you're going to have or you're going to be part of a one and only trunk show at Night Gallery, right?
Yes.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the show is called Runaway, A in parentheses.
Wow, horrible name.
I know, I am surprised.
Who came up with that?
I came up with it. Uh-huh. I'm surprised that everyone was down with that name, because I picked that name because I was like, oh, this is kind of like a way to make fun of gallery show names.
But also a way to make fun of the runway, right?
Yeah. But, wait, what was it? What were we?
Well, you were just describing the show.
Okay,
so it's called Runaway.
So, yeah, it's called Runaway. It's me and two other sort of designer collectives.
Are you a designer collective?
I'm a one-man collective.
You're a man?
I am.
I had my suspicions about that, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you're a one-man collective.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there are two other collectives.
Okay.
Of like artists/designers. Uh-huh. And
but okay, what's your what's your clothing collective called?
I'm called Barf Queen.
Okay.
And what
are your clothes like?
My clothes are like comfortable, colorful, slutty clothes for people who like holes. And
What do you mean people who like holes?
I mean, because I'm really into holes. So all my clothes have like intentional holes in them, but not like ripped jeans holes, like clean holes, like circle holes.
Clean holes. I think you're okay.
You think what? What?
Oh, no. I think early on in our relationship, you were trying to make a few of those inside me. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, making some holes inside you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I released some eggs inside of you, and they're slowly making holes.
What do you mean some eggs?
Like my little, like, bacteria eggs.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, so do you think that this costume class you took has some relationship to the fact that now you're making clothes? Because I know you didn't go to school to make clothes, right?
No, I did not. But I always liked making clothes.
Right.
And...
What do you mean always? Since when?
I mean, since I first learned to sew when I was, like, 8 years old.
Why did you learn to sew? Like, in a class or something?
No, because I was at, like, some kind of cousin, like, my dad's cousin's kid or something like that.
Okay.
I was at their house for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And obviously it was very boring because I, like, didn't know anyone in my family. And so one of my cousins taught me how to sew, and so that's all I did the entire night was eat and then sew.
Wait, because you were bored?
Yeah.
Who's your cousin that you owe this skill to?
I don't think I know her name.
Okay.
Because I have seen her once in my life, and that was the one time in my life that I saw her.
Because she lives in Korea or something?
No, just because it's like a distant relative.
Have you ever been attracted to any of your relatives?
Definitely not. Everyone in my family, except for me, is incredibly unattractive, in my opinion.
Do you think you're incredibly attractive?
I think I'm interestingly unattractive.
Well, okay, for instance, like, you're interestingly unattractive. Okay, doesn't your sister make money largely off of her looks?
Yeah, but I don't think she's, like... I mean, I personally don't find
her attractive.
Her kind of looks attractive.
Do you think any of the girls sitting out there are attractive? Are you attracted to any of them?
I mean,
there's
it's really,
four girls
it's
sitting
really hard
out.
To tell.
Uh-huh.
Because it's kind of poor lighting. And,
poor lighting. You think lighting is important?
Lighting is so important.
For attraction?
I mean, for everything.
See, I'm not as superficial as you. For me, attraction is just all about great personality.
That's a lie.
And whether or not the person is Asian.
There you go. That, now you're getting closer to the truth.
Nah, that's a joke, obviously.
I don't... Is it a joke, though?
I mean, I guess not.
I mean, I would... I feel like most of the people you have sex with are Asian.
Yeah. Except for some of them aren't.
Yeah, but then they're, like, Irish.
Yeah, and?
So you have, like, an Asian-Irish thing, yeah.
Where's that Irish-Asian girl? You almost have it because you have these weird birthmarks on your face. They're kind
they're
of like
freckles. They're not birthmarks. They're freckles.
That's what I'm saying. They're freckles.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So you
but,
are.
But, I mean, they're freckles as a result of, like, being in the sun too long.
But they'll never go away.
No, because they're, like, I have them
what
now.
Was the day that you were in the sun so long that you got these freckles?
I don't know. I think it's just, like, working in the sun as a day laborer. Which I am not.
Do you think you are a good worker?
Like what kind of work?
Like labor?
No.
Why not?
Because I am really weak.
But like, what about sewing? Sewing is labor.
Okay, well, fine. Yeah, I can sew, but I don't take direction well.
Okay, that's true. Unless you believe
like I get,
in
like, I get mad every time you tell me what to do.
What? Yeah, but that's because it's you're the boss. Do you think you're a good boss?
No, I'm a horrible boss.
Yeah, you're a
bad
boss.
Because I'm, like, so neurotic, I can't let anyone do anything.
Right. Are you planning to improve on any of these things?
I don't know.
Do you think
I
it's
mean,
necessary?
I don't know. I guess it depends how long I'm planning on living.
Okay, we can talk about that on air. Do you think suicide is ethical?
I mean, I don't think that there's, like, ethics when it comes to death.
You don't?
Not really. I mean...
So then do you think it's okay for a million people to be murdered?
I mean...
Do you think it's okay for one person to be murdered?
I mean, I think, like, in terms of choosing your death.
In terms of choosing your own death.
Okay, I think murder and death are kind of different.
So you're down with consciously selected death, but you're against murder.
I'm pro-choice.
You're pro-choice. Okay, well, so if someone made a choice to murder you, that would be... I guess with you, it'd be fine.
But I mean, I choose to accept it.
Okay, well, if someone made a choice to murder me, wouldn't you be angry at them?
Well, if you chose to accept it...
No, I wouldn't. I don't want to die.
Well, then it's not okay because you didn't choose to accept the murder.
Would you be angry at them for killing me?
I mean, I accept it.
What? You wouldn't be upset at my murderer, honey?
I mean...
What do you mean? You accept what? That someone murdered me? You think that's acceptable?
I mean, if you're okay with it,
I'm not okay with it.
Well,
just
if you're not okay with it, then I'm not okay with it because...
Right, so what would you do? Wouldn't you want to get revenge for me?
I mean, is that what you want? You really want me to get revenge?
Well, what would you do? Like, okay, so someone killed me. Uh-huh. Would you cry for a day?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and then...
And
what's
then,
the next step? Would
I don't
you
know.
Set up a memorial fund in my name? Would
no,
you
I mean,
look
I
for
will,
the killer?
I will do you the great honor of eating your corpse.
I don't want that either.
Okay,
fine. Would you testify against the murderer in court if you witnessed the murder?
Sure, but if I was there to witness the murder, why wouldn't I have helped you stop the murder?
You're too weak. He knocked you unconscious.
Uh-huh.
Or he was stabbing me, and then you tried to stop, and then he knocked you unconscious. And then he just finished stabbing me and raped you and left.
Well, why wouldn't he stab me?
He doesn't want
to
kill you. He had a personal vendetta with me.
I know, but like, why?
Why not get rid of the witness?
Yeah, that seems stupid. If you're gonna murder someone, you should get rid of, make sure they're in a witness.
He felt pity for you because part of the reason he was killing me is because I'm such a horrible person, and he felt pity for you for having to spend all that time.
Well,
with him.
I feel like if you're the kind of deluded person who's like going there, you would. Like, extend that pity to also, like, taking me out of my misery.
Oh, I don't really like where this conversation went, honey.
Okay, well, we don't have to...
You're so macabre. Would you ever murder anyone?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm very apathetic.
Right.
I don't know if anyone could make me mad enough to murder them.
But yeah, but if someone said, Joan, here's... $3,000, kill this person that you didn't know who they were or anything.
I mean, I feel like it would not be fun to kill someone you don't know. Like, if I were to kill someone, I would want to kill someone I know very well.
Well, that's true. Most murders are between people who know
each
other.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, what's the fun? Like, where's the fun in watching someone
so
you don't know die?
So this verifiably on air for the first time proves that you probably aren't a psychopath.
That I'm not?
Yeah,
because I wouldn't kill
you
someone.
You wouldn't engage in arbitrary killing.
Yeah.
But what if it was... Okay, so maybe it's someone you don't know, but you know that they represent everything you hate. And what is it that you hate? I don't think you actually believe in stuff enough to have someone represent everything you hate.
Probably not.
Like, there's no one out there that would be worth you killing them out of some sort of philosophical belief, right?
Yeah, probably.
What about if someone gave you $1 million to kill Donald Trump? Would you do it? And they kind of assured you you wouldn't get caught.
I mean, I feel like if I'm gonna Myrtle
yeah, it's fine.
Again.
You said it on purpose.
Okay, if I'm gonna do that,
yeah.
I would want it to be televised.
You do? You would?
Yeah.
But then you know you'd get caught.
I mean, I don't care.
You like to get... Right. Like, your ideal death is bank robbery, then murder.
I would have $1 million. And then, like,
no,
I could buy
if, no,
millions
no,
of prison
no.
friends.
If you got that $1 million, we'd quickly transfer it over to my name so I could at least use it.
No, because I would, like, whoever is giving me this $1 million, I would tell them, like, hey, like... You have to, like, wait till I'm in jail, and then you have to, like, deposit the $1 million into my prison account
right.
so that I can buy lots of, like...
That's all a ripoff,
candy
honey.
...candy bars and whatever
it's
shit.
It's like a Snickers in prison costs, like, $7
yeah,
at the prison store.
Yeah, but, like, you know,
and,
I
like,
could
underwear.
Also... I could also, like, pay off other people in prison so that they
You'd
just, like...
You'd really want to live in prison?
Huh?
Do you really want to live in prison?
I mean, no, but...
Do you think your current life is a prison? Don't hold back any punches here, honey.
My current... Well, I mean, I am constantly being watched.
By who?
By you and my mother.
What am I watching you?
Well, I mean, we're so...
You want some
so,
private time?
Well, no, but I'm saying we're so close.
No. Do you want some private time? You can have it.
I mean, I do get private time.
I know.
When and you're out of town.
Did you do anything? So I recently went out of town for a film festival, and Joan was on her own for 5 days, 4 days. Did you do anything naughty?
Yeah, I cleaned the apartment.
It looks less dirty, that's for sure.
I mean, I didn't clean it that hard. It was too fucking hot to do anything that hard.
Uh-huh. What else naughty stuff did you do?
Let's see. I guess I didn't really do anything naughty. Oh, I played Tetris. That's kind of naughty.
Oh, you did it without me?
I know.
I love to watch Joan play Tetris. She's so good. Joan plays this sort of competitive Tetris against people.
You can catch me on my Twitch channel.
Oh, no, no way.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, that would be cool, honey. People would watch you because literally I just sit there and I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch you play one game and then I'm going to get to work. And then I just watch her play like 30 games of competitive Tetris. And, you know, she's playing against people all around the world that are at her skill level. And she's occasionally winning and occasionally losing. So what level are you on now? 16?
Yeah, I'm on 16.
Oh, my God.
I made it to 17.
What was it called?
I don't remember.
You make me sick. You don't remember? The whole point of advancing to these levels is to know what they're called.
But I like immediately lost when I got to level 17.
Oh, God. How many levels do you think there are total? 20?
Oh, I bet it never ends.
Oh, my God.
I bet it's like Candy Crush where they're constantly adding new
levels.
You
think there are... But see, the reason... It's competitive. So what's interesting about it is that like the echelons of gameplay like... They would have to have a minimum number of people who are also at that level.
I mean,
you need to beat people five times in a row to get to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, like, if they have something beyond 17, it's like people who are beating 17ers.
Yeah.
You know?
But maybe it's like you get to a certain level and you're playing against yourself.
That doesn't make sense.
Why not?
How would you be playing against yourself?
Like, it's mirroring the moves. So it's like if you KO them, they KO you.
Right. Again, you know, so one thing that I think, at least between you and me, you're well known for is your absurd ideas, which are either unmarketable, completely illogical, like this one, or just really hit like whatever the exact opposite of a bullseye is. So that's a good example of it. Like, at some point you're just playing yourself, and if you KO someone, you're really KOing yourself. That doesn't make sense.
Well, then maybe they would figure out an algorithm so it like, I don't know, just like kind of like does the complementary move to your move or something.
I have to make
Maybe they just like play you against like some supercomputer.
I have to make a confession, honey.
What's your confession?
When we got here, I saw people that I know, right? And I didn't you did not do a good job of introducing yourself. You were just tired, slinking your head. But I did not introduce you to the person who I know here the longest because I don't know how to pronounce her name. And every time say her name, I say it wrong. Well, I don't know whether it's... I'm pretty sure it's Leela. But I think I always pronounce her name Layla.
Do you say Lela like your ex-girlfriend?
No. I just usually try to mutter it under my breath.
Uh-huh. What if you just gave her a cutesy nickname?
LL. I should just do that. Call her LL.
Her LL Cool J.
Yeah. Yo, LL. Yeah, that would be good. I think I should do that because it's like I've gotten so many like, you know, Leela has chided me so many times.
Like whenever I can't remember someone's name.
But why didn't you do it, honey? It always peeves me when you don't go out of your way, when you don't like introduce yourself to people. Because these are people who would be cool to see your art show.
I'm also like so tired. Like I can't even say murder right. Oh, I said it right.
Yeah, you said it right. But, you know, Leela, for instance, is
you mean LL Cool J?
LL, yeah, is the head of a well-known contemporary youth fashion company.
Okay? And what would that be?
It's called, the acronym is HBA, and long form is Hood by Air.
Well, I'm sure you could easily find how to say her name then.
Why?
Because I
have to watch a video interview.
Yeah, you could probably find a video interview.
Maybe.
Like V-Files or something.
No, that's not the point. Yes, that's true. But the point is that it would have been nice to say hello and then pimp out your show a little bit because, you know, it's good for people in that world to see it because, you know, like, for instance, I came out here and for 7 years I made movies, right, that no one – and they were – pretty un-Hollywood movies, so there's a reason why no one in Hollywood saw them, and they were maybe would have been enjoyed by people in like New York or the film festival circuit, but because I didn't live in that world and I didn't interact with those people, I didn't go out of my way to make connections with those people, they, you know, like, didn't get a chance to see it either. So I was making all this stuff in a vacuum, you know? And I think it's really important. And I might sound like a tool right now. So maybe I didn't want to be friends with these people. So I did, I should have probably gone out of my way and just dropped them a line, you know, and just promote my shit. Because I believe in my stuff. I believe it's good. And I know for my stuff to fall into the right hands, it has to go through a very particular system. Because it's not like I'm making Titanic or The Little Mermaid or something, you know. It's not going to be straight up, and it's not a TV show. So you need to go through the right channels in order to have the audience that you desire. This is so boring.
Yeah, let's talk about something else.
No, I just, no, but it's interesting. To me, it's just kind of like, it is a real consideration for like an artist, right? Like, for instance, you're doing this fashion show at a place called Night Gallery, right?
Yes.
And like most people in LA who are basically our age and interested in art know what Night Gallery is and like going there. If they're seriously interested in art in LA, they'll go to Night Gallery. Whereas maybe like a year ago or something, you also were vaguely related in a group fashion show. You were also in a group fashion show at like a totally different institution that I'd never heard of before. And that I think most people hadn't heard of before. And you participated in a fashion event. And I think no one like who could do anything meaningful for the exposure of your clothes was there.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a difference when you, like, and who knows? Maybe you'll have your show on Thursday and no one will buy any of your pieces and no one will care about Barf Queen afterwards. But there at least is the idea that because it's showing in this environment, people will care. Agreed?
Maybe, yeah. I'm also just, like, too tired to try to have a conversation with people right now.
But you're having a conversation with me.
I mean, you're not a person. You're...
What am I?
You're Chuck E. Cheese, the giant rat.
Okay. Well, it's good because all thousands and thousands of the listeners out there don't really know what I look like. So it's good for
so
you to give.
So just picture Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, it's good for you to give exactly visual description. So how many times... Okay, what do you think is going to happen between now and the opening of the show? Are you going to have a mental breakdown?
No.
Okay, do you think that you want to fail?
No.
Do you think that you are a self-destructive person?
No.
Do you think I'm a self-destructive person?
No.
No?
I think we're both just... misguided.
Misguided? What does that mean? I have my goals.
I know, but not like, not misguided in our goals, but misguided in our like strategies or something.
Well, okay, so what's your misguided strategy that you can't,
I mean,
that
well,
you can't designate
responsibility? I am like aware enough to realize that I'm probably misguided, but not aware enough to know how I'm misguided.
Okay, so tell me how I'm misguided. Come on, honey. You're really good at putting me down in real life. So
do you want me to put you down in... okay.
I guess. Okay. That's the whole point of this show.
Well, I mean, I think that when you talk about all the crazy strategic things that you're trying to do, socially speaking, it seems so insane to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't seem like it's working. And I feel like very few people, like... get it or like get what you're doing. It seems more like,
or
you're
referring
just...
to me just like talking to those people and talking
no,
about your show,
like in general.
Oh,
like
you mean,
you know, like in life when we go out. The rare occasions when we go out.
Oh, what are you referring to specifically, because I want to understand.
I actually am like kind of too like dead in the head right now to really be able to think of, hold on, like maybe it'll come to me later.
You mean like when I'm being confrontational with people and stuff like that, or when
I feel like
in mixed tones.
Yeah, I think people are very confused by your tones. Like, I think,
well,
a
the strategy
lot of...
for that is that I just would like to, if I'm going to talk to people, I like to have, for me to have fun. So maybe there are conflicting strategies, and that I'd like to make a good impression on people, and at the same time, I want to make sure that I'm having a good time.
I mean, I think that a lot of the times you're having a good time comes at the expense of other people.
So you think I'm a bully?
I mean, you a little. Yes, I think you definitely come across as a bully to people who can't take or give back the same level of aggression.
Aggression? You think I'm an aggressive bully?
I mean, I think you, like...
Don't you think I'm sensitive to people?
I mean, I think if you were sensitive to people, you wouldn't have offended as many people as you have.
Huh. That's funny. All right. Okay, I'll duly noted. I'm an insensitive, aggressive bully. And do you have any tips for me to be a better person?
No, because I'm not a better person either, so...
But you're not a bully.
No, but I think I have my other, problems.
Foibles?
Yeah.
And you think other people in general are nicer and less aggressive than me, right?
Or, like, their humor is not so, like, at the expense of...
You think my humor is at the expense of other people?
Sometimes. I mean, I feel like sometimes you get in this mode where you're, like, quote-unquote, negging people.
You think
And some people can take it and, like, give it back, and some people don't really know how to
Do you think
respond.
I've ever been in a social environment where I'm saying things that I think are funny and other people think that it's funny and it's not at someone's expense?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to just make sure we were having a reasonable conversation.
Yeah.
And that I wasn't living
well,
in an insane fantasy
Well, despite the fact that I am
world.
Not a reasonable person, I can have moments of reasonable...
Today,
Whatevers.
Today, like, we were at Night Gallery, and this artist that I guess they work with now named Derek Bouchier came in, and you didn't really know who he was, but he's pretty... he's an interesting artist in that he's basically one of the first... Not the first, but... He's a graphic designer, you know, who was successful in the 70s and 80s because he made a bunch of very iconic album covers.
But I don't listen to music, so how would I have known any album covers?
But you might see certain covers that just look iconic.
Like, the covers you showed me, I had never seen any of them in my life.
I understand. Don't worry. And also, he's like a painter, you know. And I walked into the room for 1 second. They were watching this documentary.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying anytime someone tells him that they're an artist, he always has a lot of respect for them because it's really hard. Because the number one thing that an artist means, being an artist means, is never having a reliable, a financially stable lifestyle. And he's basically not only a successful artist, but he's also... was like a corporate employee, like, you know, he worked for like Virgin, like he made money in that world. So I don't know.
I think it's a little different now, though.
Right, because art
can yield
so much money.
Well, yes, but also I feel like now,
yeah,
a lot of people who are like completely untalented and just have a lot of money,
uh-huh,
like parents' money, uh-huh, or like just. Some sort of, like, they, like, did something successful and now they have a stockpile of money.
Yeah.
They like to think that they're artists or call themselves artists because they, like...
Sit around and do that.
Sit around and, like, maybe, like, every once in a while do a really bad painting or something.
But you think that just now?
I mean,
there's the whole history of art. And filmmaking and music is littered. Maybe music less so, but...
But I feel like, especially now, I feel like at least the sort of, like, young generation, like, mid-20s to, like, early 30s or, like, even, like, early
20s. People who are our age.
Yeah, people who are, like, around our age. I think there are a lot of people who, like...
Say they're artists, but they come for money and just laze about and do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, who?
Or, like...
Do you want to name some names?
I mean...
Or are you just thinking about it in the abstract?
Well, just, like, kind of in the abstract. I mean, like, just people thinking that they can be, like, sort of, like, creative mavericks. Like, all these fucking people, like, opening, like,
pop-up shops?
Like artisanal something shop.
Yeah, but usually it's like artisanal food.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of those kinds of people who make artisanal food consider themselves some artists. Kind of artist.
Like a guy who makes drinks is a mixologist. He's
yeah,
a scientist.
Like, and like, you know, I feel
but
like
I think
also
you're being
like
a little bit too vague, honey. And I think I can't
think of specifics right now.
Well, I guess maybe you just don't want to vilify anyone on air, but I guess on the,
I mean, if I can think of someone,
I guess on the one hand, it's always shocking when you think someone is extremely talented or actually, I think when you think someone's extremely talented and you find out that they came for money, you almost like let it slide if they feel like they're actually making an important impact in like the history or discourse of a certain medium. But I guess it always is surprising to me when I find out someone is really like their parents are really rich. At the same time, like, your parents, like, you know, paid for your college, right?
Yeah.
So in that way, they have supported your practice.
Yeah.
Because you don't have debt.
Yeah.
So you,
I mean, I am.
And you don't
sort,
really.
I am
and
coming
you,
from
and
a
unless
place of
I
privilege.
Am having a particularly bad month, you don't really pay rent either.
Yeah,
right?
I guess that's true.
So
yeah, totally.
You are basically the sort of privileged. Cause so yeah. That means you can take on jobs when they come. And then when you're not, don't have a job, you can sort of make your art, which is this clothes.
Yeah.
And yeah, for sure. You don't go on vacation. You're not buying like $30 dinners. And you're basically don't have any money to rent out a studio. And because if you had a studio, you'd probably, what, be sculpting? Like, if you had money to make art?
No, I don't think at this point, I don't think I ever really want to make sculptures ever again.
Because you've realized that making clothes is a good substitute or what?
No, I just think I'm like bored. Like I'm over sculptures. It's like it's not fun for
me anymore.
Is it because
it seems irrelevant?
No, it's just not fun for me anymore.
When was the last time you made a sculpture?
I don't know.
Do you consider some of the so sometimes you get jobs doing production design?
Yeah.
Do you consider some of that stuff sculpture or not really?
Not really. I mean, I think I prefer that, really. I prefer, like, a task.
Is that why you think you're so bad at delineating tasks to other people?
Yeah, because I want to do them.
Right, because you like that.
I like it. I like doing it.
So what is your perfect fate?
My perfect fate is I am just a dog.
Okay, you're a dog-faced woman.
I'm a dog. No, actually my perfect fate is I was born a dog with air conditioned house and
what do you think makes you so, because there's something psychologically wrong here, but what do you think makes you so drawn to dogs and the lifestyle of a dog? Like there's some sort of psychological displacement going on here.
It just seems like the ideal lifestyle.
But what about like a really rich like person in a third world country? They have a like growing up maybe a similar lifestyle. They're pampered, they can relax whenever they want to, they get all the best food and someone takes care of them.
I'd still much rather be a dog.
Why?
I think it's the like ignorance is bliss thing.
But if you're really rich in a third world country, there is a lot of ignorance growing up because you don't have to be exposed
to all of the evils, but you have this sort of upper class like idea of like needing to appreciate philosophy or culture or something like
that.
Depends
what country and what culture.
Yeah.
In, but, okay.
But I mean, I feel like a dog's life is just kind of like.
So you'd rather.
Very like I would like to live a life that is like comfortably low on the Maslow scale.
What is Maslow?
Like the hierarchy of needs. Like, you know, like a dog doesn't need to be self-actualized. It's like completely happy if it has food and like some space to run around and like a place to poop and sleep.
Do you think
you know?
If you spoke dog language, you would be saying the equivalent of the dog word for like? So many times.
Definitely. I would probably be such a stupid dog.
Yeah. You would be one of those. Well,
I'd be like one of there I go again.
You'd be crafty. Well, no, because you
I'd
just
be,
said I'd be You know, yeah, you didn't. Well, I'd when you say if I'd be like one of those, that's kind of a simile, so it's okay.
Okay. Well, but, I'd be one of those dogs that runs into a glass sliding door.
But there are humans like that too.
I know, but I'd be the dog that does it multiple times and never learns that there's a glass sliding door there.
Yeah.
And I'd be okay with that because I would have so much brain damage.
Maybe you should have been born a dog because I think, like, you don't want to be alive. You'd rather be dead. And as a dog, you only would have had about a 20-year lifespan tops. So, right? Don't you think that's another good point?
Yeah.
All right. I think if I was... So, let's say you become... We stay together 10 years for a long time. Wow, incredible. And you...
We've already been together for such a long time.
I know, it seems like forever. And I don't leave... You don't leave the house anymore because of some, you know, problem you have or some philosophy you've adapted. And then I walk by some sort of future plastic surgery business, futuristic, and they have the whole dog face grafting surgery thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would tell you.
Really?
Unless, well, if I wanted to get out of our relationship, I would tell you. I would tell you and then be like, but look, honey, if you do this, there's a chance I'll leave you. And then when you say, I'm going to do it, woof.
Is that my dog voice?
Yeah. And then I'm in my head, I'm like, yes, she did it. Now I can leave.
Well, then if you said that, what I would do is I would get a dog body surgery.
You can't loophole Tales from the Crypt. Oh, Henry me.
No? Okay.
No. Oh my God, that would be so cute.
If I had
your
a dog body.
Your face on a dog body.
Oh, like, imagine. It would be like so it. Fun because you could still have conversations with me, but then I would, you would be able to pet me.
That's not what the fun would be. The fun would be petting you. Having the conversations with you would be freakish, potentially boring as usual, and... and you know, would bring the same amount of annoyance at the use of the word like.
Okay. Like, all right then.
I don't know. Maybe I would tell you. I have a huge guilt complex.
I know you do.
So like,
is that a Jewish thing?
I guess so.
Cause I feel like I hear that a lot.
From Jewish people? Guilt complex?
Yeah, I feel like the thing I hear about normal. Jewish mothers is that they're really good at guilt tripping.
But don't you feel like your mom is really good at guilt tripping you or tries to guilt trip
you? Well, my mom is just like incredibly passive aggressive. Is that the same thing?
No, I think a guilt trip is a kind of like, yeah, guilt tripping is passive aggressive, but I think Jewish mothers are kind of like more aggressive.
Yeah, my mom is, like, just sad.
No, I think Jewish mothers are also, like histrionically sad.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I have been told by some people that Koreans are, like,
the Jews of Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear
like,
that.
Like, similar kind of... I don't know what it is.
I wonder if that's why so many white Jewish guys go
like
out
you.
With Korean girls. Yeah.
Or maybe it's just because we have no choice because there are no intellectual men or whatever.
What? Who?
You know, remember I was telling you I heard about this, like, guy was talking about this book that he wrote about how there are more intelligent women.
I thought you were still stuck on the racial subdivision there.
Oh, no.
They're like, you Korean women have no choice because there are no intelligent Korean men.
No, I just meant in general. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if I started walking around with a Star of David necklace and then you got the flag of Korea tattooed on your forehead?
I don't see the...
Those are equivalent.
How are they equivalent, though?
Well, because I rarely wear jewelry, necklace type thing, and you have a lot of tattoos, so.
Okay.
Would you ever get a face tattoo besides a dog plastic surgery?
A face tattoo?
This is a really important question, honey.
I don't think so.
That's good. It's really good that you said that, because if you said yes, I'd have to question it.
Because it's like too much work to cover it with makeup.
When would you have to cover it with makeup?
Like if I wanted to have like a different face for a day, which is what makeup is.
Yeah, but for a day, it wouldn't be a problem. You would spend time that one
day. No, it takes forever. Like, have you ever... Like, I feel like you've been at mm-hmm. a place when my sister was getting ready to go out, right?
Why? Does she have a tattoo?
No. I mean, she just, like...
Yeah, she takes make... She puts... she gets ready for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah. And, like, 2 of those hours are putting on makeup.
Like, sculpting her face with makeup and
yeah,
stuff.
Like Kim Kardashian style.
Yeah. Do you think she ever does that to Kanye? Like, sculpts his face?
I mean, if she did, he wouldn't have such chipmunky cheeks, right?
Wow. Well, it hurt my feelings when you were attacking me as Chuck E. Cheese, but now that you're just calling Kanye, one of the most powerful people in the free world, chipmunky.
I mean, he does have a chipmunky face. Just yeah. Like, what's his name? That guy with the dark eyebrows that I think looks like a koala.
I don't know.
The actor, he was in that movie we watched with the Jewish cop thing.
Jewish cop thing. Oh my God, what the hell are you talking about?
Where it was like these Jewish people who kind of like convinced him about this like conspiracy.
Oh yeah, Joe Mantegna.
There we go, Joe Mantegna.
The movie you're talking about is called Homicide.
Yeah.
Which is kind of brings us back full circle. So you would kill someone you know. Okay, where am I on that list of people you would kill?
Oh, you're so high up there.
I'm high up there?
Well, because I would only kill someone I genuinely like.
Wait, why would you... No. You kill people that you don't like.
No, I disagree. I think you kill people you like.
Well, then I should get pretty far away from you.
I mean, I'm not gonna do it.
No, but if you...
But if I had to kill someone...
No, you could kill someone. You'd kill, like, me on top 10?
Yeah.
Why? Wouldn't you want
to
kill people?
Because I feel like killing someone is, like, so intimate. It seems wrong to do it to a stranger.
Seems wasteful.
Yeah, exactly. It seems wasteful. Like, what's the point in watching the light go out of someone you don't know's eyes?
Have you ever seen anyone die?
No.
Have you ever seen anyone
I don't
be
think
close
so.
To death?
No, but you have, right?
Yeah. You do. You... I think when people are dying, they really want to die. Have you ever felt like you wanted to die? Like when you were sick and stuff?
I was sick, I was like so...
You were
so...
sick as... How old were you?
What do you mean? Like,
when
I've been sick a lot in my life.
What about... Well, how old were you the first time?
The first time? Well, I mean, I had a really, really bad earaches as a little kid. Like, the earaches would come with 103 degree fevers.
So these are potentially life-threatening earaches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like ear infections with 103 fevers. 103 fevers were normal for me as a kid.
Right. Okay, so... But at any of those points, you're like, I want to be dead?
No, because I'm like so out of my mind.
Okay, well,
that
at what
I have
point
no
are you sick
thought.
And you say, I want to be dead?
I mostly feel that way when it's like kind of just a bad flu.
Oh, you mean you still feel like that now?
No, I mean, I just like, I feel like every time I've been really sick, it comes with such a bad fever, I'm pretty much hallucinating
delirious.
And delirious and unable of rational, unable of any kind of
what
thought.
What causes the problems? When we have problems in our relationship, what causes them?
I have no idea. If I knew, don't you think that... I mean, if either of us knew, don't you think we would fix it?
No.
No?
I think somehow we both secretly know what the things are. Do you know?
I mean, if it's a secret, I guess it's a secret from myself, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think, like deep down, we both know what those things are, but we, like, keep them secret from ourselves.
Yeah,
well, that's
well then,
why I'm asking you on air, because maybe we could figure it out.
Maybe we can figure it out. I don't know.
Do you think our relationship right now is good or bad?
I feel like it's one of the better times.
I think it's good, too, but one of the better times makes it seem like there have been a lot of bad times.
Well, I mean, there have been moments of bad time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Do you think there have been more bad than good times?
I mean, I don't know, because you know I'm so, like, I edit the past so much, as
Yeah,
you
you're
say.
The exact opposite of me. Like, I try to just forget anything that's bad, and I feel like you kind of just remember the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's why we have a yin-yang balance.
Who's yin and who's yang?
I don't know what those things are, because they're not native to my culture.
They're not really native to my culture either.
Yeah, but you're closer.
But, you know, I have Wikipedia.
That's what I mean. You're Wikipedia culture.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
more of a New York Times culture. I just keep
yes,
it current.
Yes, yes.
So which one do you think?
Which
one? Yin is the light energy and yang is the dark energy?
Well, I mean, it's, like, more complicated than
I
that,
think.
I'm
the light energy and you're the dark energy, for sure.
Well, I mean, isn't the thing that they need each other?
They
so,
do
yeah.
need each other, but I'm
yeah.
the bright side.
Okay.
I'm Mr. Brightside.
And I'm the dark side of the moon.
Exactly, of the moon face. Okay, what's
I don't have a moon face. I have an don't. Egg face.
Let me see. Chuck E. Cheese and the egg face.
Yeah.
Only here on K-Chung Radio. So, let's go to another difficult question. When you make the clothes you're making,
mm-hmm.
do you think about who's going to wear it?
I mean, I'm going to wear it.
That's how you think about it, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, am I going to enjoy wearing this?
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good idea. Here's something that I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
Could you foresee a world where you don't ever wear an article of clothing you make?
No. I mean, why would I make it if I'm not going to wear it?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's a very unconventional...
I mean, the reason I started making clothes was because I couldn't afford clothes.
You couldn't afford clothes, but also probably because you couldn't find clothes.
Yeah, I couldn't find... And the things that I did like, I couldn't afford.
Like what?
Like, just really crazy stuff.
Like what?
I don't know. Like,
like, what's something that if you had the money you would buy that would satisfy your need?
I don't know, like some kind of crazy designer
just
clothing.
Name the designer.
Like a Victor and Rolf Couture gown or something.
Uh-huh.
Or like a Walter von Bierendonk uh-huh. or like, a, you know, like just
well, yeah,
things
just
way out
specific.
Of my budget. Okay.
I want to get specific because,
yeah.
you know, our listeners love fashion
yeah.
on the show.
Like
it doesn't
I would
pay
love,
to be,
I would
it doesn't
love
pay
to wear,
be vague, honey.
I would love to wear one of those Victor and Rolf red carpet couture dresses that they made.
What does it look like? They're just wearing red carpet.
It's literally made out of a red carpet.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like really sculptural and a lot of them look ridiculous.
Where
like
would
it,
you wear it
looks
to?
Like you're just wearing a big carpet.
Where would you wear it to? Onto the bus?
I would wear it to
special event.
I would only wear it in the winter
uh-huh.
because I feel like it would probably be so hot.
Okay.
And I would wear it everywhere.
Okay. In the winter.
In the winter.
But there is no winter in LA, so you probably should.
Well, then
it.
I'll only wear it at night in the winter months of LA.
All right. I'm trying to figure out a good birthday present for next year. All right. No, but I mean, could it, you couldn't imagine a world where you're making something, I mean, and then you just wouldn't end up wearing it, but you know it should exist, and it doesn't exist in the world?
I mean, I don't know what you mean by that. Like, why wouldn't I wear it?
Because you know that, like, it wouldn't look good on you or it wouldn't suit you, but you know it should exist in the world. I mean, maybe it's a
I
stupid
mean, I
question.
Wear I wear plenty of things that... as you say, don't suit me.
Yeah.
But I love wearing it.
Yeah.
Like my bright pink Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Well, I think if you made something like that from scratch, it would be way better.
How can it be better than that shirt? That shirt is awesome. It's accidentally upside down. Like the fish are all upside down. Everything in it is upside down. I love that.
It seems like a small detail, but I guess the small details are what make things special.
Yes.
Did you think that maybe when I invited you onto the show, I was going to propose marriage?
Oh, hell no. I know you wouldn't do that.
Right. So we're actually almost out of time. Is there anything you would like to add or say?
I don't know. Oh, I actually, you know what? Earlier, I was sitting and I was like, oh, wow, I can really smell my vagina.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you can smell my vagina.
I haven't.
Okay.
Smelt it.
Yeah, oh, it smells
although,
crazy
strong. Although, last night
strong.
When we were working in the gallery, I did keep complaining about the smell of awful, O-F-F-A-L,
uh-huh.
which is like, you know, sort of burnt entrails.
I didn't
hair.
Smell it.
But maybe that was your vagina.
I mean, my vagina just smells like so well, bloody.
Well, you're bleeding.
Like, it smells so bloody. I emptied my Diva cup so many times today.
Well, I think it's probably because you have the Diva cup that it smells, right? Is that right?
Or maybe.
Because the Diva cup just probably just like...
Well, no. I mean, I think it's just because my underwear and my pants right now are kind of partially soaked in blood. And we've been in hot places all day.
Yeah, it has been really hot.
So it's like the smell of, like, blood in heat.
Okay, well, to answer your gripping finale... no, I don't. I haven't really been smelling your vagina, so rest easily, my dear.
Okay, well, because sometimes I can smell your balls.
That has been established, for sure. That I'm aware of, and you often tell me.
I mean, I like it.
Okay, well, let me
don't
ask
get
you a
me
question,
wrong.
Then. Let me ask a question. So, in a perfect Joan Lee world, 6 months from now, describe your life. 6 months from now.
When is 6 months from now?
That like would, that would be like
January? No,
February. March, February, 2016. Can you believe that 2016? It's crazy.
Wow. I guess I would like to be. I don't know. I'm not very good at thinking into the future.
You gotta have that vision.
I'm a very now
the power
person.
Of now.
Yeah.
Well, are we still together?
Probably.
I'm talking about a perfect in your perfect world.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm asking. What
okay.
is your
well, in
life?
My perfect world, I'd still be with you, but I don't
else?
Know anything else. Oh, I would have a pet dog.
Okay.
Oh, and I would have learned how to talk to dogs.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I think in my perfect world, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
I have air conditioning. I'm still with you, and I'm Dr. Doolittle.
Okay, so that about wraps it up for our show. I just want to say one last thing, that if you want to check out Joan's show, it's this Thursday at Night Gallery, which is on like basically 16th in Santa Fe.
Just search Cush Valley Collective on Google Maps.
All right, yeah, just search Cush Valley Collective, and that'll take you to the show. And it's Thursday, 7 to 10 p.m., and I think it should be a lot of fun. And Joan, thanks so much.
Thank
for
you.
Coming on the show with me. It's
thank
been a,
you, Gene.
It's been a long time coming. I know there's a notable scene in the film we made together where the Eugene character's girlfriend complains that she's always trying to get on his radio show and he never lets her. So
yes.
I'm glad that in this case, life is finally refuting art.
All right.
All right. Tune in next week where I probably won't be here next week, but tune in 2 weeks
Wait,
from now.
Wait, why aren't you going to be here next week?
Because we're going to do a music video on Tuesday.
All right.
But tune in 2 weeks from now, and we'll have a really incredible show for you here on K-Chung. This has been Open Up and Bleed. Stay tuned in for our wonderful fanboy, Eric, and Strip Mall coming up next. Peace out, motherfuckers.